Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Psalm 144 this morning. And just want to talk to you. Well, anyway, Happy New Year. And let's go here to Psalm 144. I have just a little bit to share with you today. Kind of kick the year off. You know, we talked about last Sunday morning about the year of the fix and how God's going to fix some things this year for us. And anybody need some things fixed?
Yes.
Sure. And, you know how that's what we're expecting this year. And but I want to talk to you this morning, and let's just read the verse and then I'll talk to you about it. Let's go to Psalm 144, verse 15. The Bible says, happy is the people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Now, you know, there's a lot of self-help stuff preached in church today, and, you know, there's some truth in some of that. God wants you blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And He wants you to, you know, to have a... But I don't think that God is just... you know, just totally all caught up in our comfort.
Right.
You know, I think He's more caught up in our character than our comfort. But I'm not saying that He doesn't want us blessed and comfortable, because, you know, I preach that He does. But I don't just preach every sermon, you know, you're all wonderful, you're all great, you know, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're all that, but, you know, I don't think we need to, you know, to tell you that every week. I think sometimes we got to step on your toes a little bit. You know, I think the Word will do that, don't you? How many know the Word will correct you, it'll bless you, it'll make you shout and run, it'll make you sometimes pout and cry. One guy wrote a book years ago, he's in heaven now, but he wrote a book and the title of it, "The Truth Will Set You Free, But It'll Make You Miserable First." What does that mean? Well, it means you might have to change. And you know, your flesh doesn't like change. How many know your flesh doesn't like change? My flesh doesn't like change. Your flesh doesn't like change. It's just like I told you. I'm one of these guys. You know, I'm the guy that could have the same lunchbox for all 40 years, if it'll hold together, and have the same fried bologna sandwich and Oreo cookie in it every day. Yeah, I'm original. And, you know, but you know, God changes things, doesn't He? And so, and I'm just kind of saying that because what I want to talk about is this, you know, we're in a year, a new year, and I want to talk to you about how to be happy in this new year. Because there's a lot of Christians, I can tell by their faces, they're not very happy. You know, and God wants us happy. You know what I'm saying? He wants us happy. And I said it to you, we say Happy New Year. But how many know, just because it's a new year doesn't mean you're going to be happy. Just because we change the calendar doesn't mean you're going to be happy. You're going to have to do some things, my brother and sister, if you want happiness to flow in your life. Jesus has already left us joy. He said, "My joy I give unto you." He's already given it to us. Just by virtue of our redemption, He's given it to us. Just by the fact that we're saved, we should be happy, because happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And that's one thing, you know, and I'm not patting my back, but I'm just saying this. That's one thing that I have never let go of and hope that I never do, is I'm just happy I'm saved.
Yes.
I'm happy that I was so messed up with, not happy about this, but I was so messed up in my life with drugs and stuff, and then the Lord began to visit me.
Amen.
He began to deal with me. And draw me by His love.
Yes.
And I finally went into a church, you know. And when I went into church, I picked the right one. It was one my mom went to, so I guess I didn't pick it. But I just went to where she went, and she picked the right one.
Yes.
Because they preached the Word of God. They believed in the power of God. They believed in the move of the Spirit. I know when I went, I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I'm a drug user. And I go in there, and these people, they're not playing with this thing. I'm glad they weren't.
Amen.
They love the Lord. Amen. They praised God. They freaked me out. But something got inside of me. Some power got in me. I'm glad I didn't go to some dead church, you know, that doesn't even know about being born again or being filled with the Holy Spirit or miracles or healings or the things that God, Jesus still does today, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So I'm glad I didn't go to that kind of church that I walked in there. And really, honestly, you know, it freaked me out. And I thought, man, if I ever get out of here alive, I'm not coming back. I wasn't sure about getting out alive part. But you know what? That was good for me. Amen. Because I realized something got inside of me. There was some power got in me. Amen. And you know my testimony, most of you do, that later on, it wasn't too much longer after the first time, about 4 weeks or five or whatever, after I first went to that church, I gave my life to Jesus. I've never forgot about how He saved me. I never forgot about what He did for me. And I'm still happy about that. If you know, and I know He's already done everything in our redemption, we understand. So I hope you understand the way I'm saying this. If He never does another thing for me, I got nothing to complain about. If He never heals me again or never meets any need of mine, I'm still shouting all the way to heaven. Amen. 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 I say remember. Some of you might. But the Old Testament book of Habakkuk the prophet said, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, no fruit in the vine, the olives fail, there's, you know, the cows fail, everything fails, you know what I'm saying? He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Everything going wrong, I'm still going to joy in God, because David said He's my exceeding joy. Praise God. And so I've just learned, if you're going to wait to get happy till everything in your life gets right, you're going to be waiting all your life. Amen. There's always going to be things, amen, that need corrected. Nothing is perfect in this life except the Lord. Amen?
Right.
And so if you're going to wait till everything just gets right before you have joy and happiness, you know, the kids all act right, the husband acts the way you think he's supposed to act, good luck with that one. You know, it's just not going to happen in this life. You got to learn to have joy and happiness in the Lord, not in people. Amen? People will let you down. People will fail. They may not even mean to. You've let people down. I've let people down. But Jesus has never let us down. Amen. And so, you know, I want to talk to you about this morning, because you're not going to have joy. You know, we say Happy New Year, and I say that myself. But you got to realize, just because we turn the calendar doesn't mean everything clicks and changes in your life. What's gonna make you happy this year? Well, let me say this to you. The Lord, when you make God your exceeding joy, David talked about the joy of His salvation. Remember that? He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Just being saved, you ought to have some joy about you. Just the fact we're the redeemed. Hallelujah. So the joy of salvation, the Bible talks about, remember Jesus sent His disciples out and gave them power over unclean spirits and demons, and they came back and they were rejoicing and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through Your name. He said, hey, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that Your names are written in heaven, because that's what gives you the power, the fact that Your name's in heaven. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God wants us to have joy. God wants us to have happiness. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when you know, this, the church, listen to me, the church ought to be the happiest place on earth. But you got to enter in if it's going to be that. You know, years ago, when our grandkids were young, every now and then we had to take them to a place called Chuck E. Cheese. How many have taken your kids or grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese? Christy, all right, she told me to be quiet about it. Her kids don't even know it exists. But when you go, yeah, hey, buddy, yeah, look out, come on, what a mother. They do now. How many know when you go into Chuck E. Cheese, there are all kinds of things to do? You know, Pastor Chuck used to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Yep, and he'd play whack-a-mole. But how many know, you could go to Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, there's the pizza that's there. But what was something before that? They had that band. Remember they had that? Remember that? I don't know what it was called, but it was something. Well, yeah, it was something. They had a band. What was the name of that place? It doesn't matter. But anyway, you had all kinds of, I don't know what it's like. I haven't been there in years. But, you know, you have all kinds of things going on. But how many know you got to enter in? You could just sit there in the booth and be depressed with all this joy going on all around you. You know what I'm saying? I think Pastor Chuck and I, the truth be told, we liked it better than the grandkids. It's like you play those games and say, get out of the way, kid. Nah, I'm playing it again. They used to have like a NASCAR thing. I don't know if you ever saw that. You could drive in like a NASCAR thing. I love that thing. And, of course, pizza's just, you know, that's an added bonus. But how many know the kingdom of God's that way? There's all kinds of good things in the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of good things in the church. But you can sit there and not enter in and not have it, not enjoy it. You can come to a place we worship in God and not enter in. You won't experience the joy of that. You could not enter in a service. You're not going to experience the joy that God has for you. You got to enter in. So there can be things provided, but if you don't enter into it, it's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to bless you. So the kingdom. Now listen to me. Disney World's not the happiest place on earth. The church is.
Yes.
The church is. I know that. How do you know that? Because I've been on both sides, and so many of you. I've been out there in the world. I've been over there in the depths of sin. But when I got into church, that's when I got joy. That's when I was truly happy. Hallelujah, amen. Because there's joy in the house of the Lord. Didn't we sing that this morning? We didn't sing that this morning. Okay, well, we sang it sometime. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Don't we sing a song like? Do we sing a song? All right. There's joy in the house of the Lord. But you got to enter and have me know that. The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
Amen. Right? See, we gotta learn. I'm not going to preach real long this morning, but what I'm saying is powerful, is that if you're going to have happiness and you're going to have joy in your life, you got to enter in. You got to enter in. You got to respond to the Lord, right? Remember that prophet, or remember Samuel the prophet when he was a little boy? They brought him to the temple. Now, I love that story. I don't know how. I always wondered how Eli felt about that. Because, you know, his wife, or his mother, Hannah, was barren, and she prayed and said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll lend him to you. I'll give him to you. And when he was weaned, she took him and dropped him off at the temple for Eli to have. And I'm thinking, I wonder what Eli thought about that. Like, what in the world? But, you know, one time the Lord was trying to speak to Samuel when he was little, and he thought Eli, you know, was talking to him. It was in the nighttime, and the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. He got up and runs into Eli and said, what do you want? Or you called me? He said, I didn't call you. Go back. You know, go back and lay down. And so it happened a second time, and he says, go back and lay down. You know, I mean, by this time, he's probably thinking, man, what a brat. But it happens the third time. And Eli perceives the Lord's calling him. And he said, look, if he says something to you, you must say something back. You got to say, speak, your servant hears. Now, that tells me this, that God could try to do things in our life, but if we don't respond, nothing's going to happen. Think about this. You know, I'll just leave that alone. Praise the Lord. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to look at this scripture this morning too. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot. I don't feel like this morning, but I do believe this is what God wants us to talk about this morning. What the Lord wants us to talk about is about you need to enter into the happy life God has for you. Amen. The Bible says, whoso puts his trust in the Lord, he's the one that's happy. Yeah. Amen. You know, you got to learn in your life. Look, you got to learn in your life just to trust God to cause things to work out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You know, what does that mean? Well, it just means sometimes we have things that come up in our life and, you know, you can't fix everything. Now, you do your part, right? It's like Pastor Chuck said, you can talk about this morning about a job, about somebody praying for prosperity and all they got was job offers. How many know that might be God's answer? How many know that? How many know, no offense to anybody, but this thing still works the same. This thing has worked the same since God set it in motion. It's called seed time and harvest. You plant a seed, you get a harvest. Amen. Now, the world tries to change that to where you get a harvest without planting anything. And that'll end up destroying countries. It's already done it. Because that's not God's system. God's system is if you plant a seed, you get a harvest. Now, that's what, I don't know why we're off on jobs. I hope nobody needs us this morning. But that's what a job is. It's planting a seed. You're planting a seed. You say, well, I'm retired. Well, good. You already planted all your seed. Go enjoy your harvest. Come on, are you with me? You know, so we're not talking to you. Well, I'm just saying, well, we're not talking to you. We're talking to people who are able-bodied. Go plant a seed, you'll get a harvest. Amen. It's like our friend, I love this. I know I say this more than once, but I like what Pastor Ingolf said, our pastor friend from Germany said. He said, if you don't work, you don't. And the more you work, the more you should be able to. I've been working too much lately. I'm going to slack off. Anyway, we won't go there, but how many know, there's things in our life that sometimes come up, and we just got to learn to trust God to work these things out. And I'm talking about truly trusting Him. Put it in His hands. We sang a song years ago, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. And so sometimes we take our burden to the Lord and then we pick it back up. Y'all with me? See, like a friend of mine one time, he said, either God's a bad catcher or I'm a bad thrower because I'm casting my care over Him and it keeps coming back. Well, how many know you got to sometimes keep it cast over on Him. And what happens is the devil tries to attack your mind. How many know that? He puts thoughts in there and what are you going to do now? Amen. You know, Brother Hagin tells a story about in his beginning days, you know, when he didn't have much, you know, and he's just trusting God and believing God. And he was traveling, preaching, you know, in different churches and all. He said he'd drive at nighttime because his tires were so bald. If you drove on the hot pavement, they'd blow out. So he said, I'd get to driving along the nighttime, and them tires would get to singing to me. And he said, they would say, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Anybody ever heard those tires? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? How many know that's not the Spirit of God saying that? I said, that's not the Spirit of God saying that. He already knows what you're supposed to do. That's your brain. That's the devil. What are you going to do now? He said, I got so tired of it, I just yelled, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to believe God. Amen. And it worked out for him. Amen. Sometimes you gotta believe God when you don't know what's going on. See, I think it's Isaiah 51, might be 50:10. Isaiah 50:10 talks about, you know, being a servant of God and being in darkness. And what you do is you trust on the Lord. In other words, you're in darkness because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what to do, but God knows what to do. He knows how to handle it. Hallelujah. You just trust Him. Like Paul in that storm, you know. He said, sirs, I believe God. Hallelujah. You just believe God and everything works out. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you don't know everything. You know, that's the way, I don't know about you, but, you know, maybe it's a man thing, maybe it's just a people thing. But, you know, you want to know all the facts, all the details. And sometimes you don't know all the facts and sometimes you don't know all the details. Anybody like that, you just got to, your brain kicks in. You know, you got to tell it to shut up. Yeah. We're going to believe God. What are we going to do now? We're going to believe God. Amen? So here's what I want to talk about just a little bit time we have left here. All right, if this is going to be, like we say, Happy New Year, we're going to be happy in this year, we got to make sure our happiness, our joy is based in God.
That's right.
Not in people, not in things going right, but just the fact you're saved.
Yeah.
Amen? So something... Think about, you know, the people in heaven, how many know they view the things that happened in life different now?
Oh, yeah.
You understand? It's not as big a deal any longer. And how many know we should already be seated in heavenly places? You know, as you just in the natural, as you grow older, how many things aren't as big a deal any longer? As you grow, you just, it's not that big a deal now. I know when I first started ministry, you know, things were a big deal. They're not a big deal to me any longer. They're just not. Because you grow. It's not a big deal. And so things like that, you know, when you're young, you know, your girlfriend breaks up with you. Like even kids in high school and stuff, it's a big deal to them. You know, as you get older, you think, thank God I didn't marry her. I saw her at the class reunion. God was good to me. Brother Hagin used to say that. I used to like that. He said, sometimes what we cry over now, we'll shout about later. Amen? See, because we think we want it a certain way, but God sees a bigger picture. He sees what's ahead. And so sometimes we just be thankful God didn't let us get that. He didn't let us get that job. He didn't let us get that house. I've had houses I didn't get, but I look back now and say, well, I'm glad I didn't get it. We wanted to buy one years ago. We really wanted this house, and we made an offer on this house, and we thought we had this house, and then somebody along came and made a cash offer on the house. Same amount as us. It's a cash offer, so they took the cash offer. Now, we weren't going to give them crayons for the house. We were going to give them cash, but we had to go through a bank. And, you know, I was a little disappointed, but now after time passed, I think, man, I'm glad I didn't buy that house. It was like it'd been like 28 miles from church. I said, well, Pastor, I drive that far. Yeah, but Pastor doesn't drive that much. I just yawn and I'm here. Praise the Lord. You get spoiled when you're like that. How many know that? You get spoiled like everything's real close. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to drive a mile and a half to get to church. No, I think I go about 2.5 or 3 miles or 4 or something like that to get to church now. Anyway, but you know, see, sometimes we think we want something or we think we want things to go this way in life and it doesn't go that way in life. But if we just trust God, if we really trust God, I'm talking about really trust God, He will work those things out and get us exactly what we need. He will bless us with good things. Amen. He will like the scripture, He'll fill our mouth with good things. So if we're going to have happiness this year, one, our happiness has to be, our joy has to be in the Lord. Yeah. Number two, we got to make the right decisions or choices in our life. You can say Happy New Year, but if you keep making wrong choices or wrong decisions, then you're going to have problems. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. The Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. How many know which one to choose? Yeah. What sounds better, life or death? Life. Blessing or cursing? Blessing. Now he gives us a clue here. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. All right, who does the choosing? We do, don't we? See, I know. Now listen to me fully before you make judgment on what I'm about to say. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I don't believe that God is making people's choices for them, though. In His sovereignty, He gave us a free will. He gave us, you choose. I said it, you choose what you want. You understand? So this teaching, this preaching in churches in our city and all over the world, that tell their believers that everything that happens in your life is the will of God, absolutely don't have any scripture for that. This teaching that whenever you die, that's the time God wanted you to die. Have no scripture for that. Doesn't it say it's appointed a time for man to die? It says it's appointed to man to die once, and after that, the judgment. Not a time. See, if there was a time, why would Proverbs say you can lengthen your days? Or shorten your days? You understand? So if there's a time, if God's got everything written in, now, I'm not taking away from His sovereignty. There are times He steps in and He does things that, you know, He fixes things according to His will. But just generally speaking, it's up to us. Amen. It's up to us. It's like a guy said one time at his work. He said, we weren't following all the safety protocols at his work. And he said, a lot of people were, he said, we had several accidents. People died. Died in these accidents at his workplace. And he said, you know, he said, we'd go to their funerals and he said, the preacher would get up and say, God took them. He said, after we had so many accidents, we started following the protocols, the safety measures. Amen. And he said, it's amazing how few God started taking then. God didn't take near as many. Let me know, God wasn't even involved in it. It was them making their choices. Right? You know, you didn't put on, I put on weight over the holidays. Anybody else besides me? I'm working on. I'm right now. I'm back to pre-holiday weight, but I want to get back to even farther back than that. But you know, I could say, well, you know, it must be the will of God. Said it must be the will of God. Everything that happens is the will of God. So God wanted me to eat all that. He wanted me to eat that whole bag of peanut brittle. He wanted me to eat all that pie, all that ham, all that turkey. He wanted me to have me know I made those decisions. And that's what God said here. You choose. You make the choice. It's not up to God. It's up to you to choose. All right? Now, He's the one that provides. He's the one that set it before you. But you got to make the choices. Right? See, the Bible tells us about Moses. It says that when he became of age, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, he chose. Now, notice this. How many know sin has pleasure for a season, but it goes out of season, doesn't it? And then you get in trouble. Amen. But God promised us in Isaiah, I'll give you everlasting joy. So you have a choice. Seasonal pleasure. How many know your flesh? Let me just say this. What makes your flesh happy doesn't necessarily make you happy. You understand that? All right. See, there's things. The Bible says that the Word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. The spirit, a person that's given their life to Christ, the Bible teaches their spirit has been reborn. And the Holy Spirit lives inside you, right? But yet you still have your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you can make emotional decisions instead of spiritual decisions. There's a big difference. Because what your emotions want, what your flesh want, may not be what's best for you. You don't have to answer this question, but has anybody ever got a dog, a puppy, and then a few weeks later, wish I hadn't have gotten that puppy? I'm guilty. Amen. We got a little, this lady wanted to get rid of her little dog one time. He wasn't full grown yet. He was some kind of little pup, and I took him. Man, it didn't take me about a week or two. So I'm tired of this thing. My gosh, it wants to get up 6 in the morning, go to the bathroom, or 5 in the morning, go outside. I'm like, I'm tired of that. I had enough of that. It didn't take me long to find him a good home. And I found him a good, I'm talking about a good home. People that loved him, took care of him. Phyllis liked him and all, and I liked him, but he's like, nah, uh-uh. Uh-uh. I come from the country. Our dogs stay outside. Whenever they want to go to the bathroom, they just go. They just did. Amen. So, how many know? Has anybody ever made emotional decisions And then it isn't long that you realize, man, that was not a good decision. It made me happy for temporary, didn't it? Just sin has pleasure for a season. See, you can make decisions that your flesh likes. It may make you happy for the moment, but it will not last. It will not last. There's only joy in the Lord. Amen. If there's only joy in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness or joy above everybody else. Amen. You see these movies on TV. I haven't seen one in years, but I remember watching one time, and Jesus was just so somber, so sober, so... the movie I saw, and this is religion. This is what they, this is how they think. You know, there was no joy about him whatsoever. But the Bible said he had more joy than anybody. He did. Do you know that? I thought the Bible said he was a man of sorrows. He was bearing our sorrows when he was a man of sorrows. It said he was bearing. How could he not be joyful? The Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. So, of course, he was full of joy. Amen. So, but I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. He was full of joy, but why was he full of joy? The Bible says he was full of joy because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He was making the right decisions. See, it may seem nice to your flesh to do certain things. But I can promise you, it's not going to bring you joy. And it's not going to make you happy. You got to make the right decisions. Amen. Let me have you go to one more scripture. Is that all right? Let's go to the book of Psalm. Just find Psalm. I'll just determine where I want to go here. Oh, I got two places in Psalm, and I'm just going to take you to one of them. I'm trying to decide which one I'll go to. Let's go to Psalm 101. Well, Psalm 101. Let's go there. Psalm 101. We're just talking about making the right decisions. Because your choices, your decisions, are going to determine your happiness. Not the new year, but are you going to make the right decisions? Are you going to make decisions that maybe your flesh doesn't like? we talked about a job a while ago, but how many know, unless you're just different, nobody wants to get up in the morning and go to work. Now, there's a few people, but I remember I used to say, well, Pastor, you've been a preacher for years and years. Yeah, but you know what? Right after I got out of high school, I didn't start preaching until I was 21. So from 17 to 21, I worked a job. And even after that, there for about 4 years, I worked a job. I worked a job after I left being a pastor. Getting a salary, and I was going to do traveling and stuff. There for a while, I had to work a job for about 4 years. So I had to get up early in the morning. I mean, I'd have to get up like 5 in the morning or something like that. To me, that's early. I still get up sometimes at 5 in the morning, but I don't have to go to work out there. I do spiritual stuff. But I'm just simply saying to you, I don't remember ever just thinking, boy, I'm so excited. I'm going to be getting up at 5:20 in the morning. Man, I'm excited about that. Praise God. I can't wait to get here. Man, isn't it here yet? I don't remember that. I'd have to make myself. Why is it so quiet? I'd have to make myself. Well, what's my point? My point is this. I could have done what my flesh wanted to do at the time, but on Friday when payday came, I wouldn't have happiness and joy.
Come on.
I know sometimes Christians, we don't realize, we sometimes I think we think that, you know, there's never going to be any sacrifice on our part. Yeah, you got to deny your flesh. Somehow I've killed the anointing. Talking about going to work, getting up, doing things. I'm making a point here. If you're gonna be happy in your life in 2026, sometimes you got to make decisions your flesh doesn't like. Amen. You got to make it do things. You got to make it do what's right. Amen. Look what David said, and we'll close. Psalm 101, verse 3. David said, "I've set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." See, he made a decision. He's not going to set wicked things before his eyes. He's made a decision that he is going to live his life in a way that's pleasing to God. And he's not going to set wicked things before his eyes. Let me just help you out a little bit. Look, whatever you put in front of your eyes, you're going to have to deal with later. Amen. You know, there are things that you just don't want to put inside of you because it's going to come out. Amen. See, what's in you comes out. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A guy, he's not a pastor now, he travels, but he used to pastor. He said, a lady in his church one time asked him, said, "Pastor, why does all this ugliness come out of me and this meanness?" He said, "Because it's in you." Maybe that's why he doesn't pastor any longer. But, you know, it's got to be in there if it's coming out, right? Amen. So, I mean, you know, a good tree brings forth good fruit. Doesn't mean there's not a bad fruit every now and then, but it doesn't habitually produce bad fruit, see? And so we got to watch what we put in us. We got to make the decision this year that we're going to put good things in us. Amen. I'm talking to myself too, and I don't watch vulgar, nasty things. But there's things I'll occasionally watch or see. And just like the other day, I watched this guy comment on something that made me mad. I wanted to comment. I wanted to talk to him, say, "Are you crazy? Are you a nut?" But then I realized, why am I putting this in me? It's just aggravating me. I don't even need to see this. And it wasn't dirty or nasty or anything like that. But it was just a guy making his comments about some things, and I totally disagreed with him. And so I'm just pointing out some things to you. Watch what you put in you. Make the right decisions this year. I'm going to put good things in me. Amen. I'm going to put good things in me. Even what you watch on TV, make sure you're putting good things in you. Don't put things in you that are going to corrupt you. Right? You know what I'm saying. You know when that's happening. So don't do that. Put good things in you. Let this be a year of happiness. But if you're going to be happy, number one, your happiness has got to be in the Lord. If it's in your job, if it's in your circumstances, if it's in your promotion at work, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Take it from somebody that's lived life through a long time now. You're going to be sorely disappointed. That's not going to make you happy. Amen. Amen. Well, if I just get that new truck, Pastor, I know I'd be happy. No, you won't. Temporary, your flesh will be happy, but that's not what gives you joy. Joy is something deep down on the inside. Happiness comes from the Lord. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen? So, number one, your joy has got to be, your happiness has got to be in the Lord. You got to be happy just because you know Him, you have a relationship with Him. And number two, you got to make sure you're making the right choices, the right decisions in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you get a nugget or two out of that? Come on up, Jill. Praise God for the new year. And I say happy new year to you, but you got to do something to make sure it's happy. It's not going to be automatic just because we turn the calendar. You know, it's like, wow, I don't know, something just changed this year. Well, God's going to do some things, of course, but you got to enter into it. You got to enter into it. I told you this story one time. I was preaching at a church, and I was on the front row, of course, because I was preaching. And the power of God just, it hit the place. We were worshiping God, Pastor Chuck, and all of a sudden, people just really started getting into it. And I mean, they're excited. They might have been doing a little jig, a little dance. I mean, it was the power of God, genuine power of God hit the place, and they're all excited. But man, I had a burning hot message inside of me. I was pumped to preach that night. I mean, I want to preach. I got something going. And so this is going on, and I start thinking, now I'm just being honest with you. I start thinking, I wish they'd settle down, stop it, so I can get me up there in the pulpit. I got something to preach. And when I said that, I heard, not the audible voice of the Lord, but I heard on the inside of me, well, if you'd enter in, this might get off on you. Because, see, I wasn't entering. It was happening, but I wasn't entering. I didn't want to prolong it. You understand? I didn't want to enter in. It's like a conversation. When you shut a conversation off, you know, it's like sometimes Phyllis and I will be talking to somebody and I'm ready to go. And I'm thinking, quit asking them questions, hon. Just stop it. Don't ask any more about their life. I want to go. How many know what I'm talking about? You just want to cut it off, right? That's what I was doing to the Lord. I was like, let's just settle. Come on, everybody, just stop. I got something to preach tonight. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, if you'd enter in, that might get off on you. You know what I did? I did just exactly what they did. I started rejoicing, and it got off on me. Praise the Lord. And then I thought, it doesn't matter if I preach or not. It doesn't matter. Let's just have a good time. Amen. So you have to enter in. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.